Good morning, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. Bruce, you are live in Augusta. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Roy. And thank you for coming to the show today. I know how hard it was for you.
Yes, it's very hard.
Because we actually had we were thinking about getting getting your picture on the back of a carton of milk.
Yeah.
Roy got roofied by the Hangover guys last night.
Yeah, last night was not a good night. That's what happens. Yeah, my buddy came in town. I haven't seen him in 2 years.
He's all from Philadelphia. That's enough talk about your buddy. What are we going to talk? Let me tell you what we're going to talk about today,
tell me,
Roy.
Bruce. Tell me.
We're gonna talk about the Masters for probably the better part of this. Next week is Easter Sunday. We're going to be on next week from 10 to noon. We're probably going to, we may or may not record the show Saturday night, or we may do it Sunday morning. We haven't decided. But no matter what we do, Masters Sunday is like the biggest golf day of the year. Always is.
It's a Super Bowl of golf.
People ask me. I've been in the sports entertainment business for the better part of my life. I'm almost 60, and for 30 years, I've been in sports entertainment. I've taken people to Super Bowls. I've taken them to the Ryder Cup. I've taken them to the Masters now for this is my 27th consecutive year in Augusta. And I don't go for the tournament alone. I go 8 days. I get in here every year on Saturday. I drive the 8-hour drive from Northern Virginia, through three of my favorite states in the country, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. In North Carolina and South Carolina, the speed limit's 70 on the interstates, and if you're not doing 85, people are passing you. So I really like that. Wear your seatbelt, though.
That's a good excuse for the police when they pull you over. Everyone else is doing 85.
Yeah, but you know what? And then you get to Georgia when you cross the Savannah River, and the first city you come to is Augusta, Georgia. It's literally just across the line. If you drive another 2 hours and 15 minutes, you're in Atlanta. I used to fly into Atlanta when I was younger and I had more money, disposable income. As you get older, you start not spending as much money and investing more of it, which you'll find one day when you figure out where you've been the night before.
Yeah,
but literally, there was a time in my life where I had the same problem you do, Roy. I mean, I used to black out.
I had a problem.
Hey, listen, the first sign of alcoholism is you're blacking out. So, I mean, get to a meeting this week and get a sponsor and get straight out.
Is this an intervention?
No, this isn't an intervention.
Did you trick me?
All right, guys.
Matt certainly wouldn't be one of the people you'd have in your room. Now, your father could be.
We're not actually
listening,
here.
Hey, and listen, Greg, if you're listening to this show, I got it covered. I'm going to take care of the kid. Even if I have to drive to Baltimore and drive him around all of these wonderful hot spots. I lived in Baltimore for 2 years, so I remember. Listen, I can remember driving home myself and don't remember driving home.
That's not saying that's what happened.
Okay. Oh, I hope, I pray it didn't happen.
I went out last night with a bunch of friends I haven't seen in a long time.
Let's not self-incriminate here.
What is this?
Hey, listen to me. This is Bruce Hall. This is the name of this show is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Peter King, if you're listening to this show, thank you for sending me the Sports Illustrated gig again. I was trying to find it and went to Twitter and I actually found it and you sent it to me anyway, and I really appreciate it. Stephen King, listen to me. Peter King of Sports Illustrated, in my opinion, is the top sports writer in the country. Now, he covers the NFL, which is obviously something I love and I'm pretty good at, but I'm not Peter King, but his writing is very similar to mine because he's very easy to understand. He's not real big on trying to show you how intelligent he is with his vocabulary, and I'm not saying he didn't use great vocabulary. He does, but if Bruce Hall can read his stuff and fall in love with it, then Peter, you are reaching the people you need to reach.
You're doing something right.
Because I'm everybody. I am every man. I love sports. You know, this is why the name of my company for 35 years has been Bruce Hall Sports, because it was easy. And I didn't even pick out that name. One of my clients did. They said, you should just call your name your company Bruce Hall Sports, for crying out loud. You go to every sporting event in the country. I'm talking to Roy Edwards, and if you go online, he has a pen name. I think it's Roy Gregory.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is that you?
That's Roy G.
That's really kind of neat. Is that your real name, too, Roy Gregory Edwards?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, so if you're stealing his identity, don't, because he probably has two warrants out for him after last night, and you're not going to want to be at the door when the police are serving him.
I love getting not picked apart by Bruce on a Sunday morning.
Hey, not that the police would serve warrants. The sheriff's department does that in most counties. But we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Look, this is like the most amazing week ever. I love Sports Illustrated only because Peter King is in there, and occasionally Verducci does a good story, but Peter's stories are great. He did a story in Sports Illustrated this past week about Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning's long pass. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, at one time, Roy, there were like everybody, half the teams in the NFL had said, yeah, we're interested in Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Of course, when it was time to actually, put up or shut up, only about six or seven teams were really in the mix. You know, we had Denver from the start, pretty much.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was going to Miami because Miami was the place. He had a vacation home there with his wife. He had some friends there. They obviously cut themselves out pretty quick.
Tennessee was another one that was.
Yeah, Tennessee came on late. And a lot, what was really weird about Tennessee was that about 2 weeks earlier when all of this started, there was a caller on a DC sports station, mm-hmm. and this guy said, listen to what I'm telling you, he's going to Tennessee. Well, you know, the guys on the station, it was LeVar and, whatever his partner's name
Chad
is.
Dukes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. And anyway, he, no, Chad's all right. He's just not a sports guy.
I like Chad. But you're right.
I like Chad. I don't like listening to him.
You're right. He's not a sports guy.
I only like listening to LeVar when he's talking about the NFL because that's the only thing he knows anything about. And mm-hmm. And that's not a dig at you, LeVar. It's just the truth. I love LeVar when you talk about the NFL because he knows – he played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you know what? He really understands the NFL better than most people because he's been on both sides of the negotiating table. He's seen the coaches. He's seen the owners. He's been close to all of them. Mm-hmm. And like with this stuff that happened at Penn State. So anyway, let's not get off track here. Mm-hmm. We talked about Washington. We talked about, even Philadelphia threw their hat in the ring for a second. Andy Reid, which I have no idea why they do that. They just paid Michael Vick $100 million, 60 of which I think is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to cut out of that. The Jets.
Arizona.
Remember, you thought, yeah, Arizona, like they were in it until – very late in the game.
San Francisco was in there.
San Francisco actually worked him out with nobody knowing about it. Uh-huh. They somehow or another figured out how to do it. But we're going to talk about that in a little while. I'm going to go over it and kind of give you an outline of how that entire week worked. But it ended up being Denver, and I'm happy for that. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about NCAA Final Four. Roy, we really need somehow to get your picks online early so that our
I'm
fan,
looking bad. I'm looking bad.
Yeah, yeah, but listen, the fans of our show, though, if they just know who you like, they can go the other way and they'll be rich. Our fans will be the richest fans in the country.
It's looking like
because
that.
What did I do when I was – I hate to say it. I was tweeting you driving down here about 80, 90 miles an hour. And I'm tweeting you. No, I wasn't tweeting you. Actually, I was texting you.
Yeah.
Because when we text, I can – go longer than whatever, 140 characters. So I,
you
so
can
I,
really so, lay it on me.
Yeah, I can buzz you. And I just basically went, Roy, who do you like? Because I'll just go the other way. Yeah. And I wasn't going to do that, but you
did
picked,
do that.
you picked the two teams that I didn't like anyway. Who did you take?
I took Louisville and I took Ohio State.
You took Ohio State
and Louisville.
And Louisville. Well. You actually covered the Louisville bet. I thought you took Kentucky.
No,
but anyway, but I took the other two teams with our bet, your bet and my bet. And then, but I played Louisville, and both dogs, because I put that on our website.
Yeah,
on my website, BruceHallSports.com. And by the way, if you're listening to this show, you need to go to BruceHallSports.com. But even more so, if you want to read blogs and you want to see this incredible mind that I call Roy Gregory Edwards, you need to go to SportsManCave.com.
Yes, sir.
Because that's a great site. He's all over the place. I'm trying to talk Roy into doing something in the Bay Area because I'm so loaded up. Now we're also going to talk.
Did he go? Did he just drop? Well, picking up right where Bruce left off, I actually I've expanded sportsmancave.com. It's the SMC network, as we like to call it, the SMC radio. And we have expanded to a SMC Outdoors, which is a outdoors blog. We cover hunting, fishing, off-roading, camping. We've teamed up with a great website. A guy's name is Daniel Bassotti. He is part of the sportsmancave.com. It's a funny story how I met him, actually. He tried to sue me on the name of my website, and we got to talking. He's a great guy, and we've actually teamed up on this blog.
Hey I'm Bruce. Back.
Hey.
Hey, Matt.
Don't worry, you haven't missed anything.
That was interesting, and I really liked the ringtone of our little phone that we have.
Well, Bruce, I just picked up right where you left off. I was just actually explaining a little bit of sportsmancave.com and what we're doing right now, so you haven't missed a beat. So,
well, that's good because I'm not interested in it really anyway. I just acted like I was. No, I'm just kidding. I do. Hey, you know what? For the longest time, I couldn't even get on. That's how stupid I am. I when you put a computer, but I got to tell you, I broke my computer the last day I was in Arizona. What happened was I lost the little connector for my power cord into my computer, and so I had to go buy another complete power cord, and it was like $60, and it was a cheap one. So I went and got it, and first thing I do the second day I have is try to force it into my computer. I broke that little mail rod.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
Guess what I did? Oh, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a... Matt, have I got about 30 seconds, or do we want to take a break here?
We're breaking.
All right.
And we'll be right back on the other side with a little bit of Masters. This is Bruce Hall's second opinion. Bruce Hall, live from Augusta. And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's second opinion. We got Bruce Hall live from Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to start shouting out to all the people that, while I'm on the air, follow me all of a sudden. Listen, my, if you don't follow me and you are any kind of a sports, I'm going to put quotes around this, enthusiast, you're missing the boat. Because I talk about a lot of good stuff all day long, and I also follow some of the best people in the country, and I retweet all their good stuff. Some kid named Jeremy McLively is following me now, and I just kind of took a look at his stuff, and he's pretty cool. So I'm going to follow you too, Jeremy.
Nice.
I'm going to follow this kid because he's got it together.
That's the good old follow back right there.
Plus, he gave a shout out to all of his like porn followers, which is kind of nice.
That's always fun.
I just cut them off because I just really don't know where they're going. But then he told me not long ago that when you do that, you cost yourself some good followers too, because they actually retweet a lot more than you do, and they also do a lot of other stuff. So who knows? Hey, listen. Let's talk about those games last night, Roy, that you didn't watch.
I didn't watch a single one last night. How terrible is that of me?
Well, let me just tell you this. The first game was okay. I kept track of it via Twitter. While I drove 80 to 90 miles an hour down Interstate 95 and Interstate 20 to Augusta, Georgia, and stopped one time for gas, Tried to find it. I mean, I tried to find it on the air. I couldn't find it anywhere. That which is really strange.
Yeah, I feel terrible for not having watched those games.
Kentucky totally outclassed Louisville. And I think a lot of people thought that was going to happen. But you know what? Here's the funny thing about that entire situation. I heard that the one tweet I saw was, if Louisville wasn't playing with so much heart, they'd be down by 20. Well, when you're taking 8.5 points, that doesn't make you feel very good when you read that.
No.
But guess what they lost by? 8. So I covered. I covered by 0.5 point, which is just a purely lucky thing. And really, it was the kind of luck that I needed because – and that's karma, Roy, because I only took them – well, I took both dogs anyway. Uh-huh. But, you know, you wanted Louisville, and I took the dog and the points, and even though you didn't get to see it, they did win. You liked Louisville in that game.
I did like Louisville.
Why did you like Louisville? Because they were – you know, that kid that plays for Kentucky – he's a good argument why 19-year-olds shouldn't, if they want to go to the NBA, they should be able to, because that kid's just dominated.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast. There is the argument nowadays that they're starting to make that players should be able to go out of high school again, but if they come to college, that they should have to stay for 2 or 3 years, like in other sports, like the baseball kind of factor, where you can go straight out of high school. But if you do actually decide to go to college, there is no one and done, which I kind of like that idea. I mean, it's been tossed around here and there. So.
Well, you know, for football, I'm not sure how football works. I want to say it's 3 years that you can't you have or yeah, it's 3 years. You have to go your junior year, but you can elect to not go your senior year and go into the NFL draft. If things happen to you, for example, this happened to a couple of running backs and to a linebacker that's Ahmad Brooks. You know who he is, right? The linebacker with the Bengals, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think that's who he's with. The guy's a stud. He played at the University of Virginia. He evidently had a real problem with going to class. And I don't even know. I mean, he had some discipline problems. But the guy's a monster. He's playing in San Francisco. He's a 49er. And he just re-signed. Yeah, he was like the guy they brought in their blitz packages because he's a 265-pound middle linebacker type that runs about a 4.55, 4.640. And he somehow or another got to go into the NFL after his freshman or sophomore year. There was the running back, right, Maurice Claret, who went to jail, right? Yeah. I think he went to jail for a year while he was in college. And when he got out, he elected to go into the draft. And I don't think Claret is with anybody now, but there were people interested in him. He's not. He must just – remember, he got caught with, like, a tub of pot in his trunk and, like, a bunch of weapons in his front seat. He had an AK-47 next to him in the car. Well, that's – you know, and when the cop pulled him over – he didn't go for it or anything, but he said, I'm okay if that's visible, right? And the cop, like, had a gun in his ear and went, oh, yeah, you're okay now. Don't go for it, though. But I don't know how that works. I mean, but I think in basketball it is good because what's happening, Roy, is a lot of those mid-majors, and you have a pretty good feel for this. Some of these teams – you know, that make it deep into the NCAA tournament, they do well because their kids stay 4 or 5 years in college as opposed to 1 or 2 years. Whereas, you know, like in the Duke point guard, he's gone, right? He's elected for the NBA draft.
Yeah, Austin Rivers.
Isn't that Doc Rivers' son?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, this kid's obviously talented. He's like Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe's dad was an NBA player. And, you know, Kobe went in after high school. And Kobe, it took Kobe a good year to 2 years till he really kind of got the hang of the NBA. He wasn't averaging 25 points. Oh, and by the way, you missed this. Kobe Bryant last night, Roy, 0 for his first 15 shots. Huh. 0 for his first 7 3-pointers. He's setting some kind of record for just being horrible. And
he's not horrible. This is Kobe Bryant we're talking about here.
He's been horrible all week. So, you know, the point is that I think the Lakers are done. I think when Kobe Bryant starts going a little ADHD, ADD on us, I think there's a problem in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they did still beat the Hornets 88-85. So, I mean, they're still winning games, but I understand what you're saying. The Hornets are terrible, but
Kentucky would be a 12-point favorite over the Hornets.
I don't know about that.
Wouldn't you agree? Somebody made the statement this week, Roy, in D.C., that the Wizards would be 20-point favorites over Kentucky. Do you buy that? Do you think that there's that big a difference between
in the NBA and the in NCAA?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I do. I don't buy the college argument of, like, when people said that Alabama and LSU would beat some of the worst teams in the NFL. I don't buy that. I still don't buy it today. I don't buy that Kentucky would beat any team in the NBA. I'm sorry. These are paid professionals. These guys do this for a living. These guys were the best on their team in the NCAA, and just the fact that they're in the NBA and they're a starting five out there, that proves that these guys can ball. So I'm not buying that. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I do understand that the Kentucky could probably match up, and I think it'd be a good game. I don't think they would beat the Charlotte Bobcats or the Hornets or anything.
Hey,
like
who was their loss against this year?
Kentucky.
Kentucky's, yeah, they lost one game in conference, right?
Yeah, they lost. Well, they lost to Vanderbilt in the tournament.
That's right. That's right. Well, Vandy, you know, I picked Vandy for the Final Four. That's why my bracket sucks.
Yeah.
But I do have Kansas winning it all, Roy.
I had Ohio State. That killed me last night.
A lot of people think I'm tapped out now because they think Kansas just won their last game, but I'm going to stick with them. Hey, I haven't even seen the spread, but let's handicap that game for us. Mm-hmm. After I handicap that game, this isn't I'm not a basketball guy. Make no bones. I'm not going to even profess to be a basketball handicapper because you know, Roy, that my rule is no basketball till March Madness.
Yeah.
That's my rule. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a rule and I'm sticking to it. I don't like basketball as far as wagering goes because they can score so many damn points when the game is over.
Yeah, defense is kind of a lost art when it comes to basketball these days. So
you think that All-Star game had a lot of defense in it.
See, yeah, I love that.
But it was in the bathroom is what I understand.
See, I love that though.
Hey,
when the NBA doesn't play defense.
Roy.
Yeah.
I got to get this. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. This is Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy Gregory.
Yes, sir.
Or Roy Edwards or Roy Gregory Edwards or Roy G. And we're talking about basketball right now.
And the opening line on that Kentucky.
No. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I haven't looked.
All right.
Let me figure this out. I'm going to say 4.5.
It's 7.
Well, then you know who I'm taking, baby. A 2.5-point discrepancy means I got the dog. Hey, and by the way, who did I have for the Super Bowl? I had New York minus 3 is my line, and Vegas had what, Roy? You remember?
It was New England 7 to plus, New England, right?
No, it was New England plus. It was New England minus 3. What I said was, hey, why aren't the Giants favored? First of all, they have a better defense.
Yeah.
Second of all, they're playing better ball. Well, guess what? What did the Giants win by? 4. Thank you very much. My name's Bruce Hall, and I'm better than anybody in Vegas in 7 lines. And that's why you need to go to BruceHallSports.com and see what I have to say. Read my blogs, which I don't even do blogs most of the time. I'll do a big one probably this week for Augusta. I do blogs in football. I love football. Oh, are you ready for this? Hey, New York. Roy.
Yes, sir.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors. I'm a realtor, by the way. Members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And by the way, I'm more proud of my being a broker, a real estate broker, than I am of my degree in health and physical education at East Carolina University. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm telling the truth. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the all-time loser. Already for rich lovers. May the father. And we're back in New York here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Bruce, we got you live from Augusta out there.
Yeah, I'm in Augusta, Georgia. One of my favorite. I actually bought a lot here and was going to build a house here. Let me tell you a little something about Augusta. We're going to go ahead and get into our Augusta mode here. For those golfers out there, if you've never been to the Masters, I still get goosebumps just thinking about it. My first year here was 1986. I was invited by the members of the Beasley Broadcast Group, and I wasn't even in radio then. They all were, obviously. George Beasley is a CEO and president of Beasley Broadcast Group based out of Naples, Florida. But I got to know the Beasley boys when they were at East Carolina University. They're my age. And from Goldsboro, North Carolina. And they own like three or four stations in Augusta. They own the best rock and roll station here. And they own a religious station and a couple other stations. A hip-hop station. Everybody owns one of those now. I don't understand what the hell they're talking about on there. But, you know, if the kids like it, I'm all for it. So, but anyway, you know, every year I come down here. Now, when I first came down here, I was invited. And this was 1986. I want to say a badge cost the patrons. They don't call the people coming through the gates fans here or members. You know, there's only about 130 members of Augusta National, and their list is, even though a lot of people know who those people are, it's confidential. These are, and the only way you get to be a member of Augusta National is you have to be invited. And if you're not a CEO of a major corporation or just a very powerful human being or a winner of the Masters, because those guys all get a green jacket and they become honorary members, which is why Tiger lives here half the year. He plays the National. That's why he's so good here. He's been here since that he got hurt. He got hurt. He went back, got an MRI, and the next day he was here. And he's been playing here and practicing here for about a week. I went by the house he stays at that I know where he stays. A lot of people don't know where it is. And I haven't seen any trucks there, so he might be staying somewhere else, or at least he's got people in another location. But this tournament is unbelievable. When you go through the gates of Augusta, it's like, first of all, you go through security that's by far better than the airport. And for a week where some pilot went crazy because he didn't take enough medication, antidepressant medication or what, that's the only thing I can figure was wrong with the guy, because he ended up being held down by, and if you're a pilot, let me tell you, and most people, Roy, you might have been unconscious since this happened, so for all I know, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it was major national news about, and I'm just kidding, Roy, of course. But it was major national news that a group of people flying on a plane had to subdue the pilot who came out talking about Al-Qaeda and we're all going to die and yada, 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 yada. And guess who was on the plane? A group that had been at a convention, okay, for security personnel. So they beat the crap out of this guy and put him on the floor of this plane and hogtied him and laid on him. Basically, until they got him to the airport, and there was, of course, pictures and film of this guy being taken off, you know, tied down to to one of those gurneys that they put in an ambulance, and they took him away. And now I'm hearing that the guy is, here's a surprise. The feds are, like, interrogating him, and he's in their hands. No kidding. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. But anyway, when you go into the Masters, you know, for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can buy a ticket pretty much anywhere. You can't buy them from anybody that hasn't been sent the ticket, that's not on a list for the ticket. Let me tell you what it costs to get into this place. You can buy a Monday ticket for probably $300, $350. You can buy a Tuesday ticket this year for about $350, $400. And you can, and for some reason, since the par three is on Wednesday, Wednesdays didn't used to be this high, but right now, I mean, Wednesdays are $650 to $750 a ticket. The Masters badge now, I want to say, costs $750. When I first started coming here 27 years ago, $75. They have a the Masters, you know, the Augusta National Club has a deal with CBS. And I want to say it's for $500 million for 20 years. So
that's a little bit of money.
Well, let me tell you, it is by far the number one. You can argue it a million different ways, but it's the best golf tournament in the world. A lot of people will say the Open Championship, which is the British Open, is as good. I disagree. Yeah. You know, being in Augusta, Georgia, and being in England where it can be raining sideways in 40 degrees, there's no comparison. Right now I'm looking out the window of the house I'm staying in, and I have a studio set up here in the house. And this is as nice as Matt's studio. I've got a TV in front of me. I have a refrigerator. I have my computer here. But I'm looking at number 11 green on Westlake Country Club, which, you know, I think Westlake's probably $250, $300 a person right now to play. Ooh. During the week. CBS stays out in Westlake. They're everywhere. You go down the street, CBS Sports, CBS Sports, CBS Sports. There's all kinds of big and I rent houses in Augusta. Now, being in the sports entertainment business and wanting to make money when I was younger so I could pay my house off, send my kids to private school, all the great things that you do when you're trying to make money. I do everything but buy nice clothes for myself and nice cars. I have a 11-year-old Suburban that my wife laughs at me. She just put 4 new tires on it, and she went to Costco to get the tires and put the tires I didn't want on it. But evidently,
Bruce, which tires do you want? Oh, you want those, huh?
Yeah, I don't care.
They were these.
Can I tell you what? They were free, and I got a 50,000-mile warranty on them. Okay. But anyway, Augusta, if you're a golfer and you've never come here, go to my website and just send me an email. It's really not too late to come this year, but I don't feel like working that hard this year. So plan on going next year, and I'll get you a house. I'll get you badges. If you want a cook, I'll get you a cook. If you want transportation to and from the event, I'll get you that. If you want transportation to and from the airport, I'll get you that. That's what we do. And in this business, we pay $2,500 to $3,000 a badge normally. And, you know, we'll mark everything up together, maybe $500 to $1,000, and that's how we exist. The National, Augusta National now, is starting to become what we are, only they own the place. So they've bought up everything on the other side of Berkman's Road, for the most part, and turned that into parking lot / soon-to-be accommodations. They're going to build these big, beautiful hotel type suites, in my opinion. They already have this year. They're doing something where number 10 parking lot used to be. Now that's going to be basically a place where they can have hospitality. And you can buy a package from Augusta National, only they're not available to everybody. You know, they're only available to certain people who are invited. So if you want to be the normal kind of peon like me, you're going to have to go through somebody like me to get in. And I got to tell you, I've been going for a long time now. They've changed rules here because of people like me. Used to be you could take as many chairs into Augusta as you wanted. When you go to a hole, for example, the doors open at, let's say, 7:45. You're in line to get in. If you want to be at the front of that line, you got to be there at 6:45. You know, and it's very cold. It's very cold. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We're not done yet, are we, Matt?
No, sir.
All right. So anyway, there's my live read. I can't believe you put him on for my live read. Now I want to just, I don't even drink, and I want to go out and have a cocktail with Roy. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm in Augusta, Georgia. Roy G. isn't really sure where he is, but he got home last night, and he got to work this morning.
I did.
Which is amazing.
That's responsibility.
And I'm not going to tell everybody where Matt is, because they'd just be waiting for you outside, because you'd probably still blow, you know, which is scary. So you be careful. Make sure that he makes you some tea or coffee before you leave, okay? Anyway, I was...
We'll be back on the other side with some more Masters coverage and, of course, Bruce Hall's crazy brain. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Pay for it all. They say I'm crazy, but I- New York here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We got Bruce out there in Augusta, Georgia, and we are definitely talking some Masters Tournament. Now, Bruce, for a casual golf fan such as myself, break down what is going on right now and what exactly is the Shell Houston Open and what it means to some of the players who are out there. Bruce. I guess we don't have Bruce in the other line. Well... well, we do have the Masters coming up next weekend, and we do have Bruce Hall out there in Augusta covering it. Who Bruce is a big fan of Tiger Woods right now. Who I'm not going to say that I'm not a fan of Tiger Woods, because when Bruce when Tiger was big, you know, when he was the number one player of the year for that 10-year period, and he was killing the game, he definitely changed the game of golf. He quadrupled. I think I saw a stat that he made the pot of golf 4.5 times what it is now. So the guy changed the game completely. So he is the Michael Jordan of golf, so to say, greatest of all time. But I'm just not a believer that he is back completely right now. I don't think he's back to being the dominant player that he was. Where Bruce, on the other hand, he believes that Tiger Woods is back. He's been texting me all week saying that Tiger Woods is back. Tiger Woods is the man that he was. And, you know, Vegas would agree with Bruce right now. I have right here that the odds to win the 2012 Masters, Tiger Woods is a 7-2 odd, whereas Rory McIlroy, who is the number one player in the world right now, 9-2 odds. So Bruce is not alone in this opinion that Tiger Woods is back. That him winning his last tournament is not a fluke, that he is back in the game. I'm just not sold on Tiger Woods going out, winning a tournament on a course that he's extremely familiar with, playing against a field where Rory McIlroy was not in it. A lot of people say that it could have been a weaker field. I'm not on the bandwagon that Tiger Woods is back. Is Tiger Woods back in contention? Yeah, that's fair to say. I mean, I believe he was 58th in the world before he won that tournament. Now he's up to 8th in the world. So there is still Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose. These guys are still ranked higher in the world than Tiger Woods. You know, they've still put up the numbers more consistently than Tiger Woods has. I'm not sold that just because he wins a tournament that Tiger Woods is back and we have to fear Tiger again. I still think that he can put up the numbers. He can still contend for this Masters Championship. I'm just not on the bandwagon, like I said, where these people who think that Tiger Woods is back, who think that he can contend for the number one in the world and be that dominant force. But Bruce will say otherwise when he gets back on here. Now the Shell Houston Open, which is going on right now in Texas, obviously Houston. And this is a tournament where it's almost a play-in for a lot of people. I was talking to Bruce before the show, and he said that if Ernie Els doesn't win the tournament, he doesn't think Ernie Els will qualify for the Masters. So this is definitely an important tournament for a lot of the people here out there. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Bruce knows this guy. He very familiar with him. His name is Luis Oosthuizen. It is a sight to be seen. This guy's last name. He is minus 17 right now through Hunter Mahan. See, these people I don't even know. This is why Bruce is the golf guy and I am not. These guys are playing out in Houston right now, where Luis I'm not going to say his last name is minus 7. Hunter Mahan is minus 15. And these guys look to be teeing off today at 1:30. So this is a big tournament for a lot of people who are looking to get to Augusta, a big tournament for a lot of golf fans. Like I said, I'm more of a casual fan. I do like to play golf. I do swing the club, so to speak. I played a lot in high school competitively, and now I drink beer, smoke stogies, and go out with the boys. But I do consider myself a golf fan. I do consider myself a golf player, but I am more the casual fan than the go hard, the guy who will pull up all the numbers and pull up all the old people and swing you the big stats of golf. But I still, like I said, I still don't believe that that Tiger Woods is back. A lot of people say that he is. I've seen a lot of SI articles. I've seen a lot of ESPN articles that say that this guy is back in the swing of things. They say that his knee is looking better than ever. He's been through a new caddy. He's been through a new swing coach. We all know the sex scandals and everything that he went through. A lot of off the green, so to speak, scandals that can really put a golfer in a whole another mindset. And the mind is probably the biggest weapon in golf. Golf is all about the way you swing a club. It's all about muscle memory. It's all about getting into a routine of things. If you stand over the golf ball and you don't really put your mind to what you're doing, if you don't really focus on one thing and one thing only, that is hitting the golf ball, then you're going to have a hard time. You're going to struggle, especially with a knee injury, when you're focusing on a hurt knee or a hurt leg that will play into the difficulty of hitting a golf ball. Then you really have a lot of things going on. I believe it's been 3 years since Tiger has won a tournament or a major, or like a big tournament, and so he's got a lot going on. He did win the last tournament he played in. He is the outstanding favorite for the Masters. I'm just not sold yet. That's not to say that I don't think that Tiger Woods can be in contention and can steal that number one spot from Rory McIlroy. I'm not saying that at all. I would never doubt Tiger Woods, just like when Michael Jordan came back the first time when he wore the 4-5. Nobody doubted Michael Jordan. Nobody thought that he couldn't play. There was just that, I don't know if he can get it done at the level that he did. Now, I'm going to go as far and say as I believe that this Tiger Woods coming back is more similar to the Michael Jordan who came back with the Wizards. That Michael Jordan, he would still drop 40 every now and again. He would still put up the big numbers. He was still the big name. He still drew the crowds. He was still arguably the greatest player in the world and one of the big names in the NBA at that time. But he wasn't the number one guy. He wasn't the guy that the NBA wanted to hang their hat on. That's where I put Tiger Woods right now. I believe he is past the Tiger Woods of Michael Jordan. He's past the Tiger Woods of the 4-5 Jordan. He's more as a Washington Wizard Jordan, where he is still the big guy. He's still a name, but he's more of past his prime. Yeah, he'll be able to put up 40 every now and again. Yeah, he'll be able to win a tournament now and again. But when it comes to being a big name contender, I'm not sold on Tiger Woods just yet. So the 7-2 odds that Vegas currently has him at as the number one favorite to win the 2012 Masters, I gotta shake my head at that a little bit. If he goes out and wins it, I'll give him a standing O, or in golf terms, I'll give him a nice golf clap. I'll applaud the guy. But I think the field is much stronger now. I think we're seeing a lot of more young athletes go out and pick up some golf clubs, whereas before golf was more of a high end sport. It was more of a sport for the wealthy. Whereas now we're seeing a lot more athletes pick up clubs. Tiger Woods broke the race barrier. Tiger Woods did so many different things for the game of golf that to say that he's back being the guy, It's just a stretch. Now, if this was Phil Mickelson, if Phil Mickelson went from number 58 in the world to number 8 in the world, I'd say Phil was back. Now, my reasoning behind that is Phil was never the number one in the world. He was never the number one in the world for 10 years straight. He never broke the race barrier in golf. He never took the pot of golf and increased it 4.5 times. He never did the things for golf that Tiger Woods did for golf. Now, for Tiger Woods to be back would mean that Tiger Woods was a dominating force in the game of golf. It means that viewership in golf would spike. It means that every single tournament that he would play in, he'd be the guy. He would be the number one overall favorite. He'd be the guy that people looked for, almost the safe bet to win the tournaments. Now, if you put your money on Tiger Woods, say 5 years ago, to win a tournament, that was considered to be a safe bet. That's what it would mean for Tiger Woods to be back. Now, Phil Mickelson, like I said, if he were to jump from 58th to 8th in the world, Phil's back because he never did anything really to change the game of golf. Now, don't get me wrong, Lefty is a very good golfer. He was a good Robin to Tiger's Batman, but he never has been and never will be the force that is Tiger Woods to golf. Now, to say that Tiger Woods is back, that's what that would have to mean to me. Tiger Woods would have to be back in the force. He would have to be back in the number one spot. He would have to be back in the headlines of controlling the game of golf. Now, I mean, the field is just too strong right now with Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson. I mentioned a Justin Rose who, you know, I mean, he's a top five golfer in the world right now, but he's only 28-1 to win the Masters. But that's how deep the field is right now. I mean, we got Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, Luke Donald, Dustin Johnson. I mean, we got big name golfers who are out there. They're athletic. They've been playing the game for a long time. They're younger. They're not. Don't get me wrong. They're not Tiger Woods when he was 18. I mean, and he was in 94. SI was writing articles about this guy as the comeback kid when he was just an amateur. I mean, Tiger Woods has always been on the map, but Tiger Woods now is not Tiger Woods then. That's what I'm trying to get at here, is Tiger Woods now, yes, he won a tournament. Yes, that's what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted Tiger Woods to be back. Everyone still wants Tiger Woods to be back. Everyone would love Tiger Woods to control golf again. That's what the media wants. That's what the golf fan wants. Everybody wants that. I'm just not sold just yet. This is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. We'll be right back. WFAS is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and we do have Bruce back here who wants to weigh in on this Tiger subject. Whereas Bruce, what I was saying when we had difficulty getting you back on was that yes, I believe that Tiger is back in contention, but I do not believe that Tiger is back to being the dominating force.
What I heard you say. This is all I heard out of like the last 17 minutes that I wasn't on. I apologize for that. That was my fault.
That's okay.
I did it here. But anyway, listen to me. Phil Mickelson, I'm pretty sure if you Google this, little Googler friend of mine, didn't win a major till he was almost 40. He's since won like four. Tiger Woods isn't Michael Jordan that is drunk, smokes cigars, and can't jump anymore when he was a Washington Wizard.
Right, he has a sex scandal and does prostitutes.
It doesn't matter. Physically, he's a hell of a lot better off than Michael Jordan was at age 38.
I don't know about that.
Mike, listen, golfers win majors. Tom Watson almost won the British Open 2 years ago. My little friend.
I know, but almost only counts on hand grenades.
At the age of 60.
Horseshoes and hand grenades is when almost counts.
This is golf, not basketball. You're a moron. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy, my moron, who carried me 17 minutes.
Look,
congratulations.
I'm telling you that Tiger Woods – look, for Tiger Woods to be back – this is this is my point here.
He's
Bruce.
Back.
Look, for Tiger Woods to be
do
back –
do me a favor. Uh-huh. Check – get online. Check the British.
I have a computer right in front of me.
No, you're not listening.
I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Check the odds in Vegas as to who the favorites are. And you know what? What you're going to find in Vegas is generally the best golfers are the top five guys that are there. Is Tiger one of the top five guys?
Yes.
Well, gee, I guess he's back then, isn't he?
No.
You're a moron. Of course he's back. He played last week. You know, you're supposed to be a golfer.
Was Rory McIlroy in that tournament that Tiger won? Did he play in that tournament that Tiger won?
Okay, no, Rory's getting ready for the Masters.
Exactly. So to say that Tiger Woods went out and beat the best in the world is not the case. He went out and he won a tournament at a course that he was extremely familiar with.
This ain't working. Listen to me. And listen real good.
I'm listening, Bruce.
He won what a lot of people talk about, a tournament that should be a major, which is a tough course.
Uh-huh.
And it was playing incredibly tough. The last day, the low score was 2 under. He was one of about 8 guys that was 2 under. And the greens were rock hard. The fairways were hard. It was playing extremely tough, and he had, I think, 2 triple bogeys or a double and a triple in his last 19 holes on that course, and he beat everybody by 5 strokes. There were more golfers in that tournament in the top 50. Are you listening to me?
I'm listening.
In the world than in any other tournament since the last tournament last year, which was the PGA.
But my point is that Rory McIlroy was not there.
Rory McIlroy might not have made a difference in that tournament.
Well,
Rory McIlroy, if Rory could get second in every big tournament he plays in, he'd probably be happy with that. From a financial standpoint, he'd be a billionaire in about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but do you think Rory McIlroy is all about the cash, or do you think this is a guy who can stay on top? That's what I'm saying here.
You totally don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is if he had gotten second, he'd have been lucky. Do you understand? Tiger probably, if Tiger had got second last week at Arnie's Invitational, everybody would have said, hell, that's great. Well, guess what? He didn't get second. He won by 5 strokes. And that's the same guy, oh, by the way, that won his first tournament in Augusta when he was how old? 23?
I'm not questioning the fact that Tiger...
By 17 strokes.
I'm not questioning the fact that Tiger Woods was a great golfer, and he was the greatest golfer that we've ever seen.
You talk about him like he's old. He's not old. Your old man's old. I'm old. Tiger's 34 years old, dipstick.
Yeah, but
and he's basically taken 2.5 years off because he hasn't done anything worthwhile till recently.
Exactly. Well, that's my point.
You know what he's done in the last 2.5 years? Do you even have any idea?
A bunch of prostitutes and porn stars.
No, that's not true. And I'll tell you another thing. You don't read, so you wouldn't know this.
You're right.
You listen to sports talk radio.
I do.
That's where you get your education. You listen to morons that have nothing to say 95% of the time. Tiger's been spending all
this
time with his family. He's been spending it with his kids. That's bullcrap. I won't have a show where 5% is BS.
When he can get time with his kids, he's splitting it with his ex-wife, who has taken really everything from him. I'm not buying that he is spending all of his time with his kids.
She didn't get anything from him.
Oh my god.
She got $60 million in a house that she just tore down.
That's not anything.
Dude, he's worth $1 billion.
Worth $1 billion.
If he was in California, he'd have lost $500 million. I'm Bruce Hall, and I can add, although my co-host can't. That's Roy G.
I'm having
a good time with this because you got – Roy, if you really believe he ain't back, you are – let me see. What's the word I'm looking for? I want it to be a good, clean word. You're mistaken. And listen, you won't bet me anymore because every time you do, you lose. So let's do this. Let's just have a shake hand bet.
Yeah, I won last night. I won a Louisville bet last night.
I'm going to tell our fans what I offered you this week and you turned me down. I offered you any two golfers in the world, and I'll take Tiger for any amount of money you want, and you wouldn't bet me, would you?
But that's...
I also offered you three guys, and you wouldn't do that either.
That wasn't my point, though.
So for all of our people out there with an IQ over 100 that are listening to our show, here's what I want to say. How in the world is that a smart play by me if Tiger isn't going to beat those three guys?
You're missing my point completely, though.
I'm so confident that he'll beat those three guys in Augusta that you pick. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to put my mouth where my money is. Which is something you won't do.
Your mouth is not where your money is.
Whatever. My mouth where my money is. You're right.
Money
it's
where your mouth is.
But you get what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do.
So do the people. Oh, well, here's what I'm telling you. I'll give you five golfers right now. Pick them. Five golfers, and I'll take Tiger, and I'll bet you straight up.
And just one of them has to finish higher than
one of them has to even tie him.
Okay.
Pick five golf. Now, are you going to do this during our break? During our next break, I want you to pick up a newspaper because you probably don't.
I'll take Rory McIlroy, Kyle Stanley, Johnson Wagner, Justin Rose, and Phil Mickelson.
Who is Kyle Stanley? Was he in My Three Sons?
Kyle Stanley is the number two golfer in the world right now with a $1.99 million winning purse this season.
All right, you take Kyle Stanley. Okay, Where's he from?
I just told you. I'll take the top five golfers in the world. I'll take Roy McIlroy, Kyle Stanley, Johnson Wagner, Justin Rose, and Phil Mickelson. And you can take number eight in the world, Tiger Woods.
Oh, you got it.
One of them has to beat Tiger.
One of them has to be. We'll make it this way. Because if Tiger makes it, let's say Tiger has a playoff. This would be like CBS's dream, by the way. Let's say Tiger has a playoff with Phil. And it goes like seven holes, and they can't even finish it because it's dark, and they have to come back the next morning at 10 o'clock for CBS national TV, and I stay here if that happens, by the way. I ain't coming home. And if they do that and Tiger loses on the 12th hole to Phil, I don't want to lose that bet, so I have to just tie you. In other words, I have to go into a playoff with you. Anything else, I lose.
Look,
you understand?
Look, I want Tiger Woods to be back. Okay,
He is back. And you don't have to want anymore. What, the only thing that's going to hurt him,
he
Roy,
won
is
one
his
tournament.
Knee.
Exactly,
his knee could hurt him,
and his mind could hurt him too, dude.
He won at Bay Hill.
Your mind is your biggest weapon in golf. Do you agree with that?
Okay, you know what? We have a saying in South Arlington, Virginia, where I grew up. It don't mind. I don't mind and it don't matter. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and me and Roy are going at it Tiger style. Tiger style. I'll try not to mute myself for another 17 minutes. Hey, did you know this, Roy? Roy,
hit me with it,
here.
Bruce.
I'm going to hit you with it hard, Roy. Hold on a second. I'm going to hit you with this extremely hard. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. Boy, that's real important too.
That's good stuff.
If you don't think that's important, try to take somebody's home away from them and see how long it takes them to wrap a shovel around your head.
Yeah.
Roy, you got anything to say? Or you still think Tiger's done?
I didn't say he was done. I just said he's not back to the level he was. But we will be back with this debate and more. You can reach us on Twitter. But we will be right back. AM 1230 WFAS. The hotel detective, he was on the side. Now these fine ladies, they had a plan. I go home, shoot my lip. And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G here with Bruce Hall, who is live from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm in Augusta. Can you hear me?
I can. And we're talking Masters Golf.
Amazing.
We're talking the PGA. We're going back and forth here on a little bit of Tiger Woods. who I believe is not back to where he was. Don't mistake me from him not being a contender. I'm saying that Tiger Woods is not back because nobody can be who Tiger Woods was. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Roy, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, that's great. Hey, listen, didn't mean to hop all over you, but this is my this is my 27th consecutive week in Augusta, and there's a lot of things that happen down here. I want to dedicate this show to two people that I know that I knew because they're both deceased now. One was a guy named Lucky Wells. He was a ticket broker and a friend of mine, and a wonderful husband and a wonderful father to a bunch of good-looking girls, young girls. He died at the age of 50 of a heart attack. 2 years ago down here at Augusta, I got a call, and Lucky had had a heart attack 2 years ago. And, you know, Masters Week is a pretty important week for everybody that's involved down here. And so I didn't have a lot of people here, so I basically tried to help him out as much as I could and move some badges around and do this and that and the other. And he was in the hospital one day. I think they put some stents in his heart, and the next day he was on the street and he was working. And Lucky died this year, and I didn't even know he died until about a month after it happened. I'm dedicating this show to him. And just so you know the stress of how big this event can get, several years ago, Tiger's first year here, the first year he won, when Nike showed up and bought, I don't know, a couple of hundred badges and turned the market into a ghost town.
Badges?
I don't need no stinking badges.
Thank you.
Well, the badges went from like $3,000 a piece to like $10,000 a piece. And anytime you're short a ticket, like a Super Bowl ticket or a Masters badge, and there's, you know, let's say there's 1,000 people out there that have already paid for them and need them, and there's only 50 of them available, that drives the price through the roof. It's called supply and demand. It's something that business majors learn because they never had a paper out or something. But anyway, to make a long story short, both of that guy's name was Alan Caldwell, and he had some particularly bad stress on him down here. They wrote a book and he was in it. But he took his own life late one night on a Thursday night, and he was from what I heard, he was a deacon in his church. He was a little league coach, and he owned a liquor store in town. He was a wonderful guy, and I'm dedicating this show to Alan too, because those are two guys I know that died here that were great guys, and I promised I'd never be short a Masters badge or a Super Bowl ticket when I was in the business big time again. So once again, I want to dedicate the show to those guys. Hey, the greatest thing about this event, people ask me all the time, I'm Roy, and you got to come down here. As a matter of fact, if you get down here next week, you should come for a day. If it's an 8-hour drive, it's not bad, but you got a little boy, so you can't do that, but it'd be kind of hard for you to do.
I'm actually going to two opening days this week, so.
Well, I know you're going to see the Orioles, and you were bitching about the price of the ticket being $80.
Yeah, what is that? Stadium only, $80 to see the Orioles play the Twins.
It's been that way for a long time in Baltimore because, you know, back when the Orioles were good, when Cal Ripken played for them and Eddie Murray and all those guys, opening day was like, I mean, get-ins were $150. That was when a ticket was only 20 or 25. Now the tickets are ridiculous. What are they, $75 or $65?
$80 for standing room only opening day.
Well, is that the face value of the ticket, or is that the broker price?
That's straight off of Orioles.com.
Well, welcome to the world of Peter Angelos, buddy.
Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. Peter,
it's like being worth $10 billion isn't enough. He's got to rip off all the blue collar workers in Baltimore.
Yeah. And I guess I'm preaching the choir here in New York, where the Yankees tickets are through the roof.
Yeah, but bleachers are cheap.
Yeah, and they have
you can buy bleacher seats in Yankee Stadium pretty cheap.
And there's those limited views tickets that go for like I believe $10, where you can't see like left field or whatever.
You know what? I mean, the new Mets Stadium is a great stadium. They brought the fences in at the new ballpark they just built for the Mets, and that's going to create some situations. They think it's going to help. It helps, but you know, here's what happens when you bring the fences in 20 feet. When you bring the fences in the alleys in 20 feet and down the side, you know what that does? That means I'm a baseball coach. You can bring your outfielders in 20 feet. And when you do that, that cuts off a few base hits in front of them. So, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for when you're redoing stuff.
I think the whole changing the stadium and bringing the fences in is to compete with the Yankees, because we all know that Yankee Stadium has that extremely short porch right field where balls go out, and everyone loves the long ball. Yeah. You know?
Plus, the Mets don't really have a lot of power hitters. They have a few. I mean, and David Wright, I think David Wright's still injured. He's got like a ribcage injury. Now they're saying it's something else. But, you know, David Wright's a great kid. He's from Virginia Beach and you know, it's Chesapeake area down in Tidewater, Virginia. And I want to say David's only 28. And he's the face of that franchise from a player position, right? I mean, there isn't really, you know, they let Reyes go to Florida. He's gone.
Yeah.
They've got a kid that's like, 20 years old playing shortstop. He's tough as hell, little guy there. You know, David will be at first. They've got pretty good first baseman. They're outfield, though. They, you know, Beltran was done. I'm glad they got rid of him. He's a pain in the butt anyway. I don't like what he did in San Francisco. He went there, took a bunch of money, and did nothing, basically. You know, he's playing for the St. Louis Cardinals now. You know what? Let's come back to Tiger Woods for the last 10 minutes of the program. How about we do that? And let's talk a little bit about spring training, Roy. Yeah. I was out there for 10 days.
You were?
Well, I was out there actually 11 days. And I have some connections out there with a guy that I used to play ball with when I was in Little League, and even your dad knew him, Roy, Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy has had a lot of success in baseball. He was a player for 9 years. He was a coach and a coach with the Padres for 14 years, and he's been with the Giants now going on his fifth year. And I took him to a world championship 2 years ago. You know, he's now all the managers he's passing with wins are like, you know, Hall of Fame type guys. So he's, you know, he's definitely making a difference. But it's really wild to see kind of what not only they did this year, and I got a ton of interviews from those guys. Real hard getting credentials in Arizona and Florida if you're not, if you don't have somebody. Like next year, I'm sure I'll be credentialed for the Mets and the Yankees. And I think I'm going to go to Florida for a week next year. And that way I can see the Nats too. You know, I can also see Baltimore. I can, you know, Philly is in Clearwater. A lot of the East Coast teams are still in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like Florida as much because, you know, Florida's not Arizona. Arizona's got a lot more going on. There's a little bit more to do there. The thing I do like about Florida, Roy, is the dog tracks. The dog tracks in Florida are the best. As a matter of fact, all the players go to the dog tracks in the evening when they have day games. And the great thing about a dog track, it's like going to a horse race. Only every 8 minutes there's a race. And in horse racing, it's like every 30 minutes. So you're really – and plus, you know, you're rooting for a dog, and dogs are cool. You know, horses, you look at a horse and he looks at you like he has five heads. A dog looks at you like, will you pet me? Please pet me. So anyway, I'm losing my mind again. But we're back to – I kind of have the teams. I want to talk about a few teams. Arizona Diamondbacks, I got to see them three times. You know, they went deep into the playoffs last year. They made the playoffs.
They were a surprise team last season.
Yeah, they were.
So many.
And you know – well, listen, one of the reasons they were a surprise team was because Kevin Towers, who was the general manager for the Padres and had been with the organization as a player and a general manager for 20-plus years, got fired in San Diego the last day of the season after the last game 2 years ago. He went to Arizona and turned that team around. He got rid of a bunch of guys. You know, he sent that third baseman, Craig Reynolds, to Baltimore. All that guy did was set records for punching out. He struck out over 200 times 3 years in a row. Well, I coach hitting. So if I got a guy that's punching out or striking out 200 times, first thing I'm going to do is stick my foot so far where the sun don't shine, he's going to know who I am. Second thing I'm going to do is try to get his hands a little higher and have him make contact, especially with two strikes. Evidently, whoever was in Baltimore last year was starting to kind of make sense of that with him, and I am pretty sure he's still – I don't even know if he's still in Baltimore. They may have gotten rid of him. Baltimore
loves signing people who strike out. I mean, a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, they signed Vladdy, who will swing at anything.
Well, yeah, but Vladdy doesn't punch out much. Vladimir Guerrero's walk strikeout ratio is one of, you know who he was like? Benji Molina. Benji Molina, who was the catcher for San Francisco for many years and then went somewhere last year. I think he was with a contender like the Tigers or somebody for about a month. But Benji's out of baseball now. He's not playing. His younger brother, Hadi, just signed an incredible deal for $10 million a year, and he can't hit that well. He's just a very good receiver. You know, he handles the Cardinals staffers very well. A catcher, you know, like you talk about, I'm starting to talk about catchers and hitters at the same time. But anyway, Benji Molina, he'd strike out maybe 50 times all year, which is not a lot, but he'd only walk 8 times because he swings at everything. Vladimir Guerrero, very similar. Now, is Vladdy still, where is he now? I'm pretty sure he's not with the Orioles. He's gone somewhere else, and it's not California. But he was in spring training with somebody, and he was having a decent spring. And I want to say it's an American League team somewhere. The Tigers ran into some problems. They ended up, you know, they've got, you know, they signed Prince Fielder. They play out of Lakeland, Florida in spring training. And they signed Prince Fielder, and they've got him and Miguel Cabrera. Cabrera, who's a terrible fielder to begin with, because he's, you know, in my opinion, he's roided up, and he weighs like 265, and he's
Prince?
Become this huge guy. Yeah, no. I'm talking about Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, okay.
The third baseman. Yeah. The guy that moved from first because Prince went there. Yeah. He got hit with a bad hop ground ball that hit his sunglasses and cut his eye real bad. Mm-hmm. And his eye was puffed up for a while. I think he's back now. And he's back. The Tigers are going to be tough. They're going to be real tough in the American League Central. Probably will win that division. Probably make the playoffs for sure. In the East, in the American League, you know, it's the Yankees.
By the way, Vladimir Guerrero is a free agent right now. Nope, he's not playing for any squad right now, and there's been talks of him going to the Dominican Republic and playing there.
Well, that sounds about right, because he had lost a few steps and really wasn't doing all that great. Hey, Roy, did you know that for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened? Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and there's going to be more spring training, more Major League Baseball, a little bit of insight. We're going to make our predictions for Final Four, the winner of the NCAA tournament on Monday night, tomorrow night, and we'll be back in a minute. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAN. You're going to leave.
Good morning, New York.
Good morning, Roy. You sound wide awake now.
Well, we've been jamming out to Chris Brown the whole time, man.
Hey, you know, he ain't bad.
I wake up in the morning and feel like P. Diddy, by the way. And this is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And I am rocking out right now to some Chris Brown.
Hey, Roy. Roy.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you.
I got an answer for you.
So we have a wager for the way I look at it, instead of taking me to
where's the question, palm, Bruce?
Instead of taking me to the Palm like 10 times like you owe me right now.
Hey,
don't even go there. Just buy me like a $100 gift certificate at Giant Food or something. Okay.
I'm pretty sure we're pretty close to even.
We're not even close to even. You haven't won a bet since, like, Reagan was in the White House.
I won a lot of bets during the NFL season, thank you very much.
You haven't won any in NCAA basketball this week or
I
last
Louisville.
Week.
I had Louisville yesterday.
Yeah, but you didn't win your thing with me, though. Remember, well,
they didn't win. You're right. I mean, I had, and I didn't win my pool at Ohio State. Win the whole thing, and the guy that I was trying to catch, I needed Ohio State.
Hey, real quick, let's get back into what we were talking about with baseball in the West. I've seen the Rockies. They're going to be decent, but they don't have the pitching to hang with San Francisco or Arizona. So it's going to be a San Francisco-Arizona shootout. By the way, when I was out in Arizona, I looked. There was a watch for Magic Johnson because Magic Johnson's group, by the way, was Stan Kasten, which you know, he was president of the Nationals, and didn't get along with Lerner for some reason. I didn't particularly like the guy. I talked to him two or three times. He was pretty impressed with himself, and from what I understand, in Arizona, when he was in Atlanta, the only reason he ever got the job in Atlanta was because he was good buddies with the owner, Ted Turner. So, you know, and really Bobby Cox. I mean, if you got Bobby Cox as your manager, and you got John Schierholz running your minor league organizations, and he's your general manager, I think I'd do pretty good as the president of that organization too. I'm Bruce Hall, and I want to be president of the Washington Nationals someday.
That'd be nice.
That'd be a great retirement place.
Speaking of the Washington Nationals, now this is why I was so bent out of shape on the Orioles.
Talk to
season ticket or the ticket prices.
Now, if you're talking ticket prices, I can help you there, buddy.
Exactly. Right. So
I've only been a broker for 30 years.
It's not the fact that it was $80 for standing room only for opening day for the Orioles. I get that. I get that opening day is basically a holiday for a lot of sports fans. It's a big deal. You know, everyone, even the casual baseball fan, wants to go to opening day, and it'll be the only game they go to all season. I get that. But the Orioles haven't had a winning season in 14 seasons, going on 15 seasons.
Yeah, kind of like the Redskins.
Exactly. And now you're telling me that I have to spend $80 for standing room only when the Washington Nationals, who across town, a lot of baseball guys have them in the postseason this season.
Roy, the only thing I can figure is they're giving crabs away for free. Because didn't you tell me they're playing like nobody?
They're playing the Minnesota Twins, and
they suck. They're not that good.
They're okay, but this is they're not $80 standing room only.
All right. By the way, listen to me. By the way, two guys that have been virtually non-existent the last 2 years with the Twins, Joe Mauer and the first baseman. What's his name? Justin Morneau. Justin Morneau was like the hockey player from the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's been on the shelf because of a concussion situation for 2 years. Morneau is on fire right now, and Joe Mauer is on fire, and now they got the M&M boys. So that will be a pretty neat thing to go watch, but I wouldn't sit in standing room only for $80 unless it was a Super Bowl.
I mean, if the Yankees and the Sox were coming to town, I would understand paying $80. You know what I mean?
Sold out, but they're sold out already.
They're sold out.
Well, you know what, Roy? You know what we call that? Tough titty.
I mean, I'm going.
Don't pay.
I'm going Sunday. Yeah,
Roy, don't pay 80. Pay a buck and a quarter and sit in a good seat. If you're going to pay 80 to stand in the outfield out by the picnic area, you might as well pay 125 and sit in a seat.
Yeah. Well, I'm going Sunday with Haley and my son, and we're sitting in the right field.
Listen to me. Call me on Saturday. Well, call me on Friday, and I'll see if I can find you something.
That'd be awesome.
Because I got some calls I can make, and people owe me some favors in Baltimore anyway. So.
It's Bruce. Remember me?
Yeah.
Give me that favor.
Believe me, they'll remember me. They always do.
Oh, I believe.
Hey, listen. Let's talk a little bit. Let's give these people. I'm going to give them a rundown of what happened to Peyton real quick. If you didn't read Peter King's story in Sports Illustrated about Peyton Manning, you need to go out and buy. Well, you actually don't have to go out. You can actually go online and read it. But Peter King did a great job with that. And the way Denver basically won that whole deal was Miami blew it when it was just a circus there. You know, they were following him with helicopters. They had the media everywhere. He really didn't get to work out very long there. Denver had him work out. They actually sent the plane to Miami to pick him up. Pat Bowlen's plane picked him up. They went to Oklahoma State University in Stillwater, got off the plane, picked up and interviewed him to the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and John Fox, who were at Oklahoma State for their senior day, got on a plane, went back to Englewood, Colorado, drove 2 miles to their complex, and he threw for Denver. Then they went out to dinner that night, and they fooled the media. They sent the SUV they picked him up in on a, like a, they sent him to some seafood restaurant, and every media member followed him there, only some, you know, guy got out of the, you know, some guy that was some kid that worked for the Broncos got out of there by himself, and they knew they had been duped. Yeah. They actually took him to the country club where Bowlen belongs, had a private room in the back, had a few other people there from the Bronco organization, had a great dinner, and Elway did not hard sell him. Mm-hmm. What Elway said to him was, you know what, if I'd have gone through what you're going through at the age, Elway actually won a Super Bowl at age 37 and 38. And guess how old Peyton is? 36. So, you know, this Elway, he couldn't have a better guy to be around. And, you know, and Peyton Manning is basically John Elway right now. He's at that point in his career. You know, Elway, the only difference was Elway hadn't won a Super Bowl until he won that one. And then he also won the next year in San Diego when he beat Brett Favre. They were like 9-point underdogs in that game. That was a joke. Mm-hmm. That ticket, by the way, was about a $6,000 to $8,000 ticket just to get in San Diego because there were no tickets. That was Denver, Green Bay, and it was off the wall, just for you people that might want to know. But anyway,
he beat Brett Favre first, right? Because Brett was going to repeat, and that way ended it.
No. Yeah, he beat – yeah, Brett won in New Orleans.
Right, and then he went back.
They beat the Patriots.
Right.
And then – and because I went to, like, I don't know, 16 straight Super Bowls. And that was a very, very fun Super Bowl too because the guys that do the show Cops found a guy that had ripped off, like, 100 people for tickets, and he was staying in our hotel. And so they dragged him away in the lobby, and all these people were trying to.
And that was Bruce's first time on TV.
No, but that wasn't that wasn't me. I actually had 200. I had about 200 rooms in New Orleans that year, and I actually sold 100 of my rooms to the Green Bay Packer guys that were handling their travel plans. Jerry Jones's secretary called me. She's a real nice lady. Her name's Marilyn Love. And she wanted to know if I had any rooms in New Orleans. And I sold all my rooms. And I even sold her my other parts of my package. And I gave her a big discount. And it saved me a lot of trouble. But anyway, God, I hear somebody moaning in the background. But anyway, getting back. No, that's music. It's just music.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to Elway. So they went to Tennessee. And that guy offered them. Now, I've already done 4, so I'm done. But here is the situation. He went back to Tennessee where Bud Adams offered him a lifetime contract with Tennessee. And, you know, that in Tennessee, Peyton is thought of as a god. As a matter of fact, they've got a place in the mountains in Chattanooga. That was where a lot of people thought he was going to end up. But when it was all said and done, it ended up being Denver. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Bruce. That's Roy G. We'll be back in a minute.
Playing my song. That's my joint right there. My ringtone. Not really, though. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. We're here with Bruce Hall, who is live from Augusta, Georgia, jamming to some
stuff.
Some Miley.
Hey, listen. Right? Yeah. Hey, listen. we got a few minutes left. Let's go over a couple of things. Number one, let's go down this Masters thing. I already know you've got the top 5 in the world. You need to send me an email because I don't know who the top 5 are in the world.
Well, it depends
because
who you're
with. I really don't care. I know Rory's there. I know. Mm-hmm. How about, where's Graham McDowell? Because he was second place 2 weeks ago. He was at 8 under. And Ian Poulter, you know, I like Ian Poulter. He was at 6 under, only 7 strokes back of Tiger. Ryan Moore was at 5 under. He's tough. Brian Davis, he's pretty good. I'm trying to get what I'm trying. Oh, here's full leaderboard. Let me. I just want to go over this real quick because this is something that's very important to me right now. Mm-hmm. I want to go over all the guys that Tiger beat 2 weeks ago and by how many strokes he beat him by. So let's just do this right now. I already talked about Graham McDowell. Bubba Watson was 8 strokes back. Let's see.
Bubba Watson is 18.
Ernie Els, who needed to win or needed to finish in third place in that tournament to be eligible for the Masters, was 8 strokes back. Okay. Johnson Wagner, 58. He's a stud. He was 8. Hey, Jimmy Furyk was 9 strokes back. Trevor, I love Trevor. He had one of the best commercials of all time when he was singing into his comb. That was great. Trevor Immelman was 9 strokes back of Tiger. Zach Johnson, he's an Augusta winner, got a green jacket, 9 strokes back. Justin Rose, what a surprise. He was 9 strokes back. And then I get down to Charles Howell. You know where Charles Howell is from? He is from Augusta. And Charles Howell was 11 strokes back. Let's see. Phil Mickelson, we know who he is.
Yep.
He was 12 strokes back at 1 under. VJ, also a green jacket, 12 strokes back. Sean O'Hare, he's got a chance. Sergio's never going to win anything. You know, well, you know what Sergio did? He was at, you know, 2 weeks ago, he shot 72, 67. And when the greens got hard, he went 75, 75 because he putts. I putt better than he does. I do. Brian Gay, who I don't like for certain reasons, he's a Florida Gator. 291. Oh, he was only 16 shots back. Excuse me. KJ Choi, 15 strokes back. So this is Tiger Woods who's not back.
Yeah, but you haven't named
Rio. I'm sorry. The best Japanese golfer ever, Ryo Ishikawa, was 5 over at the Palmer Invitational.
Okay, but you still haven't
Tiger
named...
Tiger was 14 under, right?
You still haven't named a single player who is ranked higher than Tiger Woods in the world.
Yeah, but who are the guys that you picked again?
Oh, well,
Rory. Didn't you pick Ryan? Who'd you pick?
Well, it depends where you're looking at. I'm taking the top five guys. I'm taking the top five guys in the world. If you look at
ESPN. All right.
So,
give me their names.
I'm going to go with... I've done some thinking since I last said it. Before
so you're changing your mind now?
I'm changing a couple people. Yeah, I'm still taking.
So what is it? You're taking the top five, or are you going to change your mind after next Sunday too?
No. All right. Look.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking Rory McIlroy.
Well, let's hope so.
I'm definitely taking Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I think you got to take Rory because he's my second favorite golfer.
I'm going to take.
And by the way, all the problems that Tiger had don't mean I don't like him, because everybody has their problems, Roy. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but
okay,
not to the extent of Tiger Woods. I don't have any skeletons to that magnitude.
Well, how would you know? You don't remember anything after 8 o'clock last night.
That's not true.
Keep going. No, you told me that. Keep going.
I never said that.
Yeah, you did. You said you don't remember.
If you look at Vegas.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Well, hold on. Here are the top...
The guys.
I know. Hold on 1 second. Here are the top five golfers according to the Vegas site that we use. And they are Luke Donald, Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, Martin Kamer, and Steve Stricker. Now,
you know what's fun is Stricker's not playing this week either. Steve took 3 weeks off. He was struggling. Stricker's been struggling for about 2 months. I don't expect Stricker. Now, I'll tell you this. The guys that always end up on the leaderboard in Augusta are a lot of times the same guys.
Mm-hmm. Now, did any of those five guys that I just named play against Tiger?
Oh, not in that tournament. No. Yeah, okay. Well, one did.
Who?
You already said. Well, what's his name? The guy from England.
Luke Donald,
he was 15 strokes back, but you know, I'm sure he'll be much better on the Augusta greens
than
he was on Palmer's greens.
I'm just saying.
No.
So one of the top five played against Tiger in that tournament.
Yeah, but listen to me. Yeah, but there were a lot of good golfers in that tournament is what I'm saying. I mean, Sergio Garcia, wouldn't you say he's not a bad golfer?
He's
probably going to be
okay.
A Hall of Famer. I think he's won like 45 PGA events, maybe 40.
He's good.
He's the same age as Tiger. He's like 34, 35 years old.
Isn't Sergio kind of known for choking, though? Isn't that kind of been his MO?
Sure, yes, because he can't putt. Mm-hmm. You know, same way. Now, Vijay Singh, by the way, we were talking about people being done because of their, you know, whatever. Vijay Singh didn't win a major till he was 43 years old. And then he won like five. What happens with golfers is they get it, but they never know when they're going to get it. Mickelson was the thing that people talk about with Phil was he was the best golfer that had never won a major. Right. Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's a lot of best golfers that have never won majors. For Ernie Els, for example, he's won two majors. I'm sorry, but Ernie Els doesn't qualify to come to Augusta this week because A, he's never won the Masters, and B, doesn't have enough points. You know, now it's a much easier now to make the Masters than it ever was because there's so many different ways you can qualify to get in. For example, I talk right now reading out of the Augusta Chronicle completely. This has got a list of all the guys that have made it and how they make it. For example, Lucas Glover's 32. You know, his best finish at the Masters was tied for 20th. Yet he's got, even Lucas Glover has enough of qualifications to be in the top 100 golfers in the world. Justin Rose has never won here. His invitation is because he was in the first 16 players in the 2011 Masters. If you're in the top 16 in the Masters this year, you get to come back next year. And I think that's a great exemption. Here's a guy, Simon Dyson. You ever hear of him?
I haven't.
He's from England. He's among the 50 leaders on the final official world golf ranking. If you're in the top 50 of the world golf ranking, which includes a lot of pretty good golfers, you get an automatic invite. Hey, you know who we haven't heard from in a while? Paul Casey. Paul Casey's a great golfer. Same age as Sergio and Tiger. 34. He's from England. He got in because he's in the top 50 in the world. Graham McDowell got in because he's in the top 50 in the world, and he's a U.S. Open champ in the last 10 years. A lot of different exemptions. Hey, you know who we haven't heard from in a while? Patty Harrington. Patrick Harrington, where's he been? You know, he choked big time in the British Open a year ago or 2 years ago, and I don't think he's won since. He's in. Are you ready for his exemption? He won the 2007 and 2008 British Open Championship, and he was a 2008 PGA champ. He has won three majors, but he's not even in the top. Well, he is in the top 50 in the world, but you'd never know it. I like Graham McDowell. You're right. Are you going to take McDowell? How about one of the Molinari brothers? They're good. They're both good. Eduardo finished in the top 16 last year in the Masters, but his brother's in the top 50, Francesco. They're always on the Ryder Cup teams. Martin Kamer's your boy. You're going to keep him, right?
Martin Kamer?
Yeah, it's so wild. It's so weird looking at heights and weights of golfers compared to, like, baseball players and football players. 6 feet, 165. I mean, the guy's built like a wrestler that's cutting way too much weight, you know? He got in because he was the PGA Championship winner. He's won one major, but he's not in the top 50 right now, is he? Oh, no, Kamer has to be in the top 50. I think he's in the top 7 or 8.
Kamer?
Yeah. Sergio, you know how he got in? You're not going to believe this. First 8 players, including ties in last year's U.S. Open. That's the only way Sergio got in, because Sergio has never won the Masters, nor will he win the Masters. Why, Roy?
Because he's a choke artist.
I've already told you.
Can't putt.
No, because he can't putt. Because he just can't putt. When he gets over a putt, he is sweating. I'm telling you. Do you remember when he used to re-grip 60 times before he hit the ball? You know, they almost kicked him off the tour that year if he wasn't going to change. Now, here's a guy, Ricky Fowler. Everybody loves the kid. He looks like a dreamsicle walking down the fairway. He's always wearing Oklahoma State orange, and he's or is he a Clemson boy? Oklahoma State. He walks down the fairway. He's like 5'9", 135, and he hits the ball 350 yards. You know how he got in?
Tell me.
Top 50 in the world golf ranking. He's never won a major, but he's going to win one. He's only 23 years old. You know, this is going to be a great tournament. It's going to be a great night. Now, you got to give me who your five guys are right now. Go.
All right. I'm going to take
– you got Rory. You got Rory.
I'm taking Rory. I'm taking Justin Rose.
Okay.
I'm taking Johnson, Wagner.
Okay.
I'm taking – so that's three, right? Johnson, Wagner, Rory, Justin Rose. I'll take Phil.
Okay.
And I'll take I don't know. Mark Wilson.
Okay. No, that's good. I would have taken Mark Wilson, too.
I'm serious. I'm not sold on Tiger. That's my point in all this.
It's not that I think that someone... Are you sure you don't want to take Bubba Watson instead?
You want Bubba? You want me to take Bubba? I'll take Bubba.
Yeah, okay, I'm just trying to help you, because that guy you just
Mark Wilson.
Said,
he's fourth on cut points right now.
Yeah, but you know what? He's not. I don't even think he's ever been in the top 30 here.
All right. Well, it's been a good show, Bruce. It's great hanging out with you,
Roy. Listen, thanks for carrying me when I pressed my mute button. I really appreciate it.
No problem. This is AM 1230.
Hey. More important, find out what you did last night. That's important.
Yeah, this is AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.